I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Your tweet, Mike. Chaos.
Looking forward for tomorrow, since it's a home game, might we see Craig Anderson at
all? You probably will. Again, we'll wait till after today to make sure all that is, but I think we have him in there tomorrow. How long he'll play is another, you know, another thing to assess, but
he's in a different spot than maybe the other goaltenders, right? He knows what he needs as far as preseason games and that kind of stuff to be ready.
You're correct on that. He is in a completely different spot with his experience. We communicate consistently with him, but we take a read. He can verbalize it. He can tell us how he feels. And he knows what he needs to get done to prepare, you know, for 3 weeks from now or whatever it is. And in season, it's the same. He knows where he's going to be in 2-3 days and what's going to help him get there. So lots of communication with a guy with that much experience.
I was up to Craig the other day, and he was still talking about slights that were probably literally 20 or more years ago. Is that just part of the makeup? I mean, it still drives him, I guess. Do you see that?
I missed the first part, Bill. Sorry.
When we talked to him the other day, he was talking about how he's motivated. Slights that he went through early in his career. I mean,
okay.
Literally, you know, 20 years ago.
Grudges? He's got grudges still or no?
Sounds like it. But, I mean,
it's okay as long as you can fight through them. But no.
Do you still see that he's motivated by
anything? I definitely see he's motivated. I don't see that he's motivated by anything negative, but,
right.
You know, but again, you know, whatever he said to you, whatever he shared with you guys, he shared with you guys. But I see, I mean, you don't play and come back to play after dealing with injuries he dealt with last year, the age that he's at, unless you love the game. And part of loving the game is, you know, being in camp for almost a month before you play the game, before you play the regular season game. And you've got to battle and endure and work through that to get to even your first game. So, again, what I see is a really connected, you know, he's in touch with his love of the game. He just wants to play and doesn't see himself giving that up because he enjoys it. So I'm sure that there are things in the past that would motivate him for more, but I mean he hit the 300 win mark. He's had opportunity to keep adding to that. I just think he's playing just because he loves it. Absolutely loves it.
You got it. Pretty good reaction yesterday from 20 guys. How curious are you to see a different 20 guys tomorrow?
I'm excited and less than curious. And I only say that because I don't want to have too many preconceived notions going in. I mean, it's early. These guys have to play. They have to, you know, more than we push them as coaches, I want to see them push them. And I was real happy last night that I felt, the guys that were in the lineup, you know, that have played here and been part of our team, Cousins, Hinostroza come to mind right away, push it. Even Riley Sheehan, who wasn't here last year but 2 years ago, took the initiative to take charge and push. And that's what I want to see more than us pushing them right now. And so, I'm excited going in tomorrow because I think the guys will, I think they're excited and I think they understand. It's about pushing and playing to our identity and doing it assertively. And, you know, for that, we'll watch as coaches and we'll figure out, okay, what do they need based on the game film? Do we tweak this practice drill, that practice drill? What do they need reps in? What are they not comfortable in yet? So for us, it's post-game that we'll look at things like that.
I noticed Dahlin was doing his usual practicing hard as he always does. Just work found that out as they went on during the practice.
Yeah.
Was your message to Anders? Maybe you got to match that intensity.
No, I gave Anders a couple of things to think about, just in how to react technically, tactically, you know, in that situation. But yeah, I don't mind. That was awesome, you know. And we've, as you mentioned, Paul, we've talked about that. Darlene challenges his teammates. Nicole reminded me as we were walking in of we have a shooting room back there, and there's also a game in the shooting room that's separate from the shooting room that I don't know if you guys have seen, and it's all digital. What's the name of the game? Do you know?
It's just Rapid Shot. I don't know.
Rapid Shot. You got it. So it's called Rapid Shot. So it's a pump up for Rapid Shot right now. But they digitally keep score. It actually, there's an app that goes on your phone. So Darlene went in there, had a high score. Middlestead went in there to break the high score. He did. Darlene saw it on his phone later and actually went back to break it, and he has the record now. And according to the guys that installed the machine, they've never seen scores that high, which is good. So that's mostly, but that competitiveness, you know, and those two guys specifically, and I would put Cuzzy in that mix too, because I think he's on that chart as well, but they just don't like to lose, and it's fun to see.
You look at last year's camp at Middlestad, perhaps one of your top forwards, if not the top in camp, and we know what happened with this season. I mean, just how do you approach what he's trying to do in this camp just to try to get his game back to close to where he was?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably less than how I approach it, and if you want to know me, it's nerve-wracking, because here's a guy that's put the work in, and you want to see him get rewarded for it. He is in really good shape. He's skating really well. You know, he had a lot of, like, I think him and Victor Olofsson probably had the two guys that everybody that Sabre fan knows watched him last year. They had to fight through a lot of physical adversity. They just weren't themselves. And both have worked. You know, we're talking about Mitzi now. I just want him to stay healthy. I think that he will, and we'll all get to see a much, much better version of Casey Middlestead based on not only the work he's gone through, but the experience he's gained, and some of it just having to sit on the sidelines. You gain some experience, especially at that age.
For Alex Tuck, seeing what he went through last year to get to the point of playing, how much more benefit will it be to have that full off season of health than a training camp and knowing your system, scratching the surface on what he can be?
Yeah, I think all of that is a major factor. Key is knowing our system and our culture and our processes. I think he's a guy that performs better the more comfortable he feels with his surroundings, more secure he feels with that. He's very in tune with that. He's a sensitive, you know, guy, and that's a positive. I mean, that's an attribute that will help him dial in to the next things he needs to do, or could add, I should say, not necessarily needs to do, but add to his game to continue to move, reach new levels in his personal career.
As we get to October and you start thinking about your lines, we know what Tuck does with Skinner and Thompson. We've seen it, and they do great. Olofsson also does great with Thompson and Skinner. Do you think to yourself, maybe a guy with the experience of Alex might be great with a guy like Krebs, you know, a younger guy, to help him along, knowing that, well, you can always put Olofsson up with those other guys, and that's going to be fine type of thing. I think
Skinner and Thompson, those are two guys I can pretty comfortably say I see those guys staying together. There's chemistry there, but they work together. They strategize together in between games, after practices. So they're really dialed in. In that, I see that we have any number of guys that could fit in there. And what will happen from the chemistry standpoint, we'll see. Is it a shooter like Olofsson? Is it more cerebral guy, playmaking guy, because both Skinner and Thompson can score? I don't know the conclusion of that, I guess, less than an answer. But the nice thing is we have lots of parts that appear like they'll have the ability to shift and play with each other. You mentioned Krebs with Tuck. We have obviously Middlestead, Quinn, Paterka, that are talented guys too, that every day we're getting more information on those two guys specifically. And Krebs, I put in that category as young guys. And Cousins, I didn't even mention him. So lots of potentially moving parts, but, you know, we feel, you know, and lots of the NHL for years, everybody migrates to top six. And it just, everybody just repeats it now. Just for lack of thinking otherwise. But, you know, I probably just named eight or nine guys that kind of fit in there. What we do know is that if you're the other team, you are probably zeroing in on Tage Thompson and Jeff Skinner with your top pairing D. So any of the other guys would get a third pairing D and a second pairing D. I think the game to game is going to go by who are they matched up against. Who is the other team matching up? If you have the two other centers and two other lines, who's playing against the second pair D and who's playing against the third pair D? And I think, obviously, the guys that are playing against a third pair D or a third line on the other team, because those next two lines are so, however you divide them, they're going to be so close in skill, that's going to open up room for the next line. And I would think Tuck probably has the commands the respect around the league that he might see second pairing D if he's not with Thompson. That would open up a third line. So what would we want to do there? Would we want to put, would we want to shift Casey Mittelstead there if he's, at that point, he's our hottest player?
But I was thinking more with Tuck and Krebs, they've known each other since Vegas.
Yeah.
And Peyton being such a young guy and Tuck being who he is,
yeah.
Might that be a good double combination?
Absolutely. And I have processed it, and we have as a staff that exact way, Paul. We have considered that many times. We've used Mittelstead on the wing, and I want to get him reps as much as I can there. I'm going to do the same with Krebs. Krebs played some wing last year, and, there's some attributes to his game that translate better on the wing than at center right now in his career as well. So, you know, that's not out of the realm, and we'll see that in the preseason, just so you guys are aware and heads up on it.
Guys like Anderson, with guys like Comrie that they've said to us that more or less they've got like a chip off their shoulder to kind of prove something. We've got guys that want to prove something. How do you manage that with those guys to kind of keep it?
Yeah, I think those two guys, if they have that, it's healthy. It's healthy. It's not extreme. It's not, I don't think they're on a vengeance. I think, again, those two guys love the game. I mean, that's the driver. It's not, if a guy didn't really love the game and he was just pissed off and wanted to do it, spite, that's not healthy. But these guys, I'm not worried about that. For that reason, I'm not worried about those two.
I assume there's other guys like Casey's got something to prove from previous year.
I think you can ask these guys that. I certainly don't want to speak for them, but what I see on Casey now, you mentioned him, is his drive, and like Tej is, I don't think they wanted to try to prove people wrong. I think Tej did prove people wrong that were loud against him, but Tej wanted to prove things for himself. I think Tej knew, I can do this. And I want to do this. It was a very healthy situation. I can tell you, just if it wasn't healthy, we would have probably been really nervous about the contract we gave him. It's healthy. There's no hesitation by us as an organization to reward Tage with that contract for that reason. He's not trying to prove to somebody else. He's trying to prove to himself. He's very within himself. Even though all that noise is out there, just because all the noise is out there, sometimes these guys have to react to it, but it doesn't mean they're consumed by it or driven by it. Some are, but Mittelstead and Thompson, I would confidently say they're not. Their drive is internal. Yep.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.